Welcome to the Connected Leaders Academy Virtual Conference, designed to reshape your vision of transformation. As we navigate the evolving business landscape, our speakers will unveil innovative strategies to manage and initiate change. Prepare to adapt, innovate, and lead, ensuring your role as a catalyst in this transformative era.
Limitations are a state of mind. Those five words didn't come from a motivational speaker or even a best-selling book. You see, they came from my godmother, Sandra, whispered through decades and decades of lived truth, carved into reality by a woman who turned every obstacle the world threw at her into a stepping stone towards something greater. Sandra lived in an assisted living facility, her body still carrying the echoes of a long battle with the infamous COVID-19 virus. While Sandra survived the actual virus that she had contracted through a healthcare worker, the aftermath of that devastating illness left an infected bed sore that spread into her bloodstream and ultimately into her bone, creating sepsis, fragile organs, and sucked the energy out of her. The March day in 2021 that Sandra passed away, I sat reflecting on our last FaceTime in which the nurse had to hold the phone due to Sandra's weakness. Winter was giving way to spring and outside, and although it was still chilly, I was wrestling with the enormity of not being able to be with her in those final hours. The idea of losing someone who had been one of my first teachers in the art of refusing to quit. Sandra lived courageously for 78 years, and doctors said she would not live beyond 15. Born with cerebral palsy in an era when disability was whispered about and hidden away, she chose a different path. Every single day of Sandra's life was nothing but a masterclass of what becomes possible when you decide that your circumstances don't get the final say in your story. But what I must tell you about Sandra is the very thing that made her extraordinary. It wasn't that she had survived most of her life's obstacles, but it was how she thrived. When the world tries to write your story for you, you become unstoppable. Imagine South Norfolk County in southeastern Virginia in the 1940s and 1950s, not far from the cities of modern-day Norfolk and Virginia Beach. In South Norfolk, railroad tracks cut through the heart of the county, dividing black neighborhoods from white ones like an oozing scar across the splendid landscape. Sandra would tell me as I grew up about stories of those olden days, her voice strained from cerebral palsy, but she painted pictures of a nation, the United States of America, where your skin color and your physical abilities could determine the boundaries of your dreams before you even knew you had any. And that was only if you allowed those boundaries to become your reality. She shared firsthand with me how the Ku Klux Klan would parade down the street during the day into the black neighborhoods without warning, a deliberate show of true intimidation designed to keep people in their assigned places. The message was clear. Know your limits, stay in your lane, remember what you cannot do. However, Sandra had other plans. She chose not to be resentful or bitter because all white people were not racist and weren't clumped in that category. But when those robed figures marched down her street, Sandra would wheel herself onto the front porch. No fanfare, no fancy speeches. Just a young black teenage girl with cerebral palsy seated in a wheelchair, with her spine straight, eyes fixed forward, refusing to look away. She met their hatred with something more powerful than defiance. It was uncertain as to what they would do next, but Sandra chose to meet it with the quiet declaration that she belonged exactly where she was, that her life mattered, and that no amount of intimidation or fear could erase the space in which occupied her life in this world. What the world called limitation, Sandra transformed into unshakable power. I think about that porch story every time life tries to convince me I'm not enough, not ready, not equipped for what's ahead. I think about Sandra's gaze and remember that courage isn't the absence of fear. It is the decision to move forward regardless, boldly and largely, even when everything around you suggests that you should make yourself microscopic. Sandra taught me that most of the barriers we as humans create to stop us aren't built by circumstances. They're built by us. We construct them thought by thought, excuse by excuse, until we have created prisons so familiar we mistake them for home. Sandra understood something that took me quite a while, years in fact, to grasp. She knew that she couldn't control the cerebral palsy that made every movement deliberate, that forced her to use her arms over her legs, that caused every word to be an effort as she strained to speak. She could absolutely, though, control her response to it. She once told me, Lily is my nickname. Pain is my constant companion. She told me that before, but although she lived daily with her entire body, from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, aching and hurting in pain, it was never going to be her master. We limit ourselves when we let fear make our decision. When we look at uncertain times and we choose comfort over growth. When we silence our own voices because someone else might not like what we have to say. We limit ourselves when we wait for perfect conditions that will never come. When we let past failures become permanent identities. When we convince ourselves that playing little and small and not being true to who we are born to be is somehow noble and righteous, when actually it is more harmful than not. The most obvious limitations are the ones we place on ourselves, such as the stories that we tell about what people like us can and cannot achieve. The dreams we abandon before we even try because the path looks dark and uncertain. The opportunities that we decline because we've decided that we're not qualified enough, not ready enough, not enough, period. Or we make assumptions that, oh, that person can't help me. But Sandra lived every single day with the motto, limitations are a state of mind. The question that we ask isn't whether challenges exist, for we know that they do. The question is whether you'll let those challenges define the boundaries of what's possible for your life. There comes a point in life when everything that you thought you knew changes. We are living in this very moment through times of unprecedented uncertainty. The rules we thought we could count on have shifted. Industries have totally upended overnight. Career paths that seemed secure have vanished practically into thin air. The future feels less predictable than ever, and if you're feeling unsettled, I assure you that you're not alone. But uncertainty, if you think about it, is not new. It's been the backdrop of every generation, every revolution, every moment when someone decided to build something that had never existed before. There is no one person to blame for uncertainty. It is simply the facts of life. What changes is not the presence of uncertainty, but how we choose to navigate through it resiliently. I've had my own seasons of complete upheaval. Moments when the ground shifted so dramatically that nothing familiar remained. Health crises that arrived without warning. Business ventures that failed spectacularly and miserably. Relationships that ended when I thought they were a lifetime. Times when I looked in the mirror and barely recognized the person staring back at me. In those moments, I learned something that no amount of success had taught me. Resilience isn't built in the good times. It's forged in the fire of uncertainty, shaped in the space between what was and what's possible. The leaders who emerge stronger from chaos aren't the ones who never face difficulty. They're the ones who learn to find their grounding and their footing even when the earth beneath them is shifting. Those who discover that their strength isn't dependent on external stability, but on something deeper, more reliable. Resilience is not a trait that you're born with or without. It's a skill that is developed, a muscle that's strengthened, a choice that you make again and again and again, until it becomes who you are. It is an ongoing practice. I used to think resilient people were somehow different from the rest of us, that they possessed some special immunity to struggle. I was wrong, because that day changed when I looked in the mirror and saw that resilience was me. The most resilient people I know have simply learned to respond differently to difficulty. They've mastered the art of moving forward even when the path isn't clear, or making decisions even when the information isn't necessarily complete, of leading when they don't feel ready. Does readiness ever truly come? I know that when my life felt most chaotic, when every plan I'd made seemed to crumble, I started asking different questions. Instead of asking, why is this happening to me? I asked, what is this season of my life trying to teach me? Instead of, when will this get easier? I asked, how can I grow stronger? Instead of, what if I fail? I asked, what if things go well and I actually succeed beyond my wildest imagination? See, the shift in questions changed everything. Suddenly, uncertainty wasn't just something to endure, it became a classroom, a training ground, an opportunity to discover capacities I didn't know I possessed. And guess what? The same applies for you. Excellence is never accidental. It's always a choice made daily, sometimes moment by moment, especially when external circumstances would give us every excuse to lower our standards. The world is full of people who let their situations determine their effort. Resilient leaders do the opposite. They let their commitment to excellence shape how they respond to their situations. So, how do you go about doing this? Well, I'm so glad that question came to mind. After years of my working with leaders, studying resilience, and living through my own life of times that had uncertainty, I've identified five strategies that consistently make the difference between those who thrive in chaos and those who merely survive it. Strategy one. Anchor in purpose, not circumstances. Your circumstances will change. Your job might evolve or disappear entirely. Your relationships will shift. Your health may fluctuate. Your income, especially if you are an entrepreneur, will vary. But your purpose, your core reason for being here, that remains steady even when everything else is in motion. Every morning, before you check your phone or read the news or let the world make its demands on your attention, spend 5 minutes reconnecting with what matters most to you. Not what you think you should care about, not what others expect you to prioritize, but what genuinely moves you, what makes you feel most alive. What contribution you want to make while you're here. This isn't about finding your life's calling in a moment of revelation, but it's about staying connected to the thread that runs through your days. Strategy two, progress over perfection. Progress over perfection. When we don't know what the future holds, when the path ahead isn't clear, perfectionism whispers that we should wait until we have all the information, until conditions are ideal, until we're completely ready. That day will never come. Instead, commit to progress. Every single day, identify one action you can take that moves you forward, even if it's tiny, even if it's imperfect, even if you're not sure it's exactly right. When I was younger, and even times now, I had a severe stutter. I used to pray that it went away. But instead of praying that my stutter went away, I made progress towards speech. And I learned that the power of doing that is not in the size of the step, but in the consistency of stepping. Because if this lesson is not learned, you may find yourself being paralyzed by the fear of making the wrong choice in your life, waiting for the right answer that never arrives. Move forward with progress, regardless of what happens. Strategy three, protect your energy like your life depends on it. Uncertainty is exhausting. It demands emotional and mental resources that we don't realize we're spending until we are completely depleted, especially in uncertain times. In times of rapid change, energy management becomes a must-have, not an option. This means saying no to things that drain you without adding value. If it means that you must limit your consumption of your news and social media to what you actually need to know, not what feeds your anxiety. It means surrounding yourself with people who will elevate your thinking rather than heighten your fears. And it also means rest. Rest is what makes productivity possible, and give yourself permission to step away, recharge, and to tend to your own well-being. Strategy four, embrace radical self-honesty. Denial is tempting when it feels overwhelming. It's easier to pretend that everything is fine, to minimize challenges, and to focus on what we can control while ignoring what we cannot. But denial does not make your problems disappear. It delays our ability to address them effectively. Resilient leaders face reality without flinching. They name their fears, acknowledge their limitations, and get clear about what they are dealing with. So ask yourself the hard questions. What am I avoiding? Where am I making excuses? What story am I telling myself about my situation that might not be entirely true? The answers might be uncomfortable, but discomfort is temporary. The consequences of self-deception and self-sabotage last much longer. Strategy five, build and lean on community. It is a myth that anyone is self-made. The self-made person is dangerous, especially in uncertain times. No one navigates chaos alone successfully. The leaders who emerge stronger from difficult seasons are the ones who surround themselves with people who challenge them and support them and believe in possibilities that they cannot yet see for themselves. So ensure that you surround yourself with the right ones. Change happens when you implement these strategies and more. Not through grand gestures or perfect plans, but making ordinary people know that they can make extraordinary choices. Day after day, decision after decision, until what seems impossible becomes inevitable. Sandra understood this. Every time she achieved what was deemed as impossible for someone like her, she chose joy over bitterness despite living with constant pain. And she was proving that one person's refusal to accept limitations can change what an entire society believes is possible. Your story is not finished. The chapter you're living right now, no matter how difficult, is not your final chapter. The uncertainty you're facing and the challenges that feel overwhelming, they are not the end of your narrative. Sandra's life became proof that when we refuse to be defined by what's wrong, by what's stacked against us, we discover reserves of strength and possibility that we never knew existed. The world needs more of your leadership right now. The leaders who will shape the future are not the ones waiting for perfect conditions. They are the ones learning to navigate imperfect ones with wisdom, courage, and an unshakable commitment to growth. This is your invitation to awaken the resilience that already exists within you. Here's to the torchbearers, the boundary breakers, the overcomers, to the Sandras, and to you. Those who stand up to resilience in uncertain times.
Thank you for participating in today's enlightening session. As we transition to our next expert, remember that each strategy and insight is a step toward becoming a transformative leader in your field. Visit connectedleadersacademy.com to stay engaged and informed. The journey of change is ongoing. Let's move forward together.